Garrett, have you ever seen a UFO?
I don't think so, but any one of us could be the person who looks out their window at the right moment and, like, solves the UFO mystery.
Actually, hold on. Let's start over. That probably wasn't the best introduction to my friend Garrett Graff. You should know first that Garrett Graff is a massively prolific historian and journalist. And he hosted an outstanding podcast last year, Long Shadow, about right-wing extremism in the U.S.
Timothy McVeigh watched Waco burn, too.
There are 95 people inside, of them 17 below the age of 10.
What he saw was an atrocity carried out by a tyrannical government.
Graff is known for writing deeply researched books on hard national security subjects, the Cold War, the War on Terror, cybersecurity, and nuclear strategy. And he wrote maybe the best book I've read on the modern FBI. More recently, he published a history of the Watergate scandal that was a finalist for a Pulitzer Prize. My point is, he's maybe the last person you'd expect to be an expert on flying saucers. But he recently spent 2 years of his life researching and writing a 500-page history of the United States government's search for UFOs and aliens. So how the hell did that happen?
I come at this subject as someone who has spent almost 20 years in Washington covering national security and federal law enforcement and the intelligence community. And from that side, there was this shift, which you might have noticed yourself, where in recent years, serious people in Washington have begun to talk seriously about UFOs.
It turns out that a very specific individual among those serious people in Washington sent Graff down the UFO path. That individual was John Brennan, the canny and judicious former director of the CIA. You'll hear more about that in a minute. But first, I need you to hear why I think this is a particularly great moment for you to join me for a conversation with Garrett Graff.
Today, we finally have seen the first report due to Congress that details the history of UFOs and a whole bunch of classified government programs.
A Pentagon review of decades of government investigations into UFO sightings.
A 63-page document comes from the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, which sounds super legit.
The Pentagon has an official UFO hunting team, and it is actually legit. It's the wonderfully named All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or ARRO. And ARRO has finally released a long-awaited report that aims to investigate every U.S. government UFO sighting dating back to the 1940s. Now that the report was officially released in March, I wanted to talk you through some of the findings with maybe the most serious historian to seriously study this subject. You'll hear about questions the government's investigation has settled and new questions it may have raised.
One question I have coming out of this report is, what have our adversaries figured out that we haven't? What types of spacecraft, spycraft, aircraft have we created that the public doesn't know about?
You'll also hear what the Pentagon's newly public posture towards UFOs means for the people protecting U.S. national security.
To be the person in that bureaucracy who says, yeah, there's some weird stuff out there, but we don't know what it is like a really unsatisfying briefing to give.
And you'll learn how Graff's latest work on UFOs and the conspiracy theory surrounding them connects to far weightier national security topics.
I don't think you get January 6th in America without the intellectual foundation laid by the UFO conspiracists of the 1980s.
I'm Peter Bergen. Welcome to another Flying Saucer edition of In the Room. Maybe the oddest aspect of Garrett Graff's offbeat turn to writing about UFOs is how it was inspired by a guy I tend to think of as a particularly thoughtful and serious public figure, John Brennan, the former director of the CIA.
It was December 2020, and former CIA director John Brennan was giving an interview to a DC journalist named Tyler Cowen and was asked about this modern UFO movement.
The interviewer was asking Brennan about UFO sightings by U.S. Navy pilots in the early 2000s.
So let's say we take a concrete issue. The Navy has reported that a lot of its pilots have seen unidentified flying objects.
Well, I've seen some of those videos from Navy pilots, and I must tell you that they are quite eyebrow-raising.
What do you think is the most likely hypothesis?
And John Brennan gave this very weird answer. The syntax is among the most tortured syntax you have ever heard a Washington person say.
Some of the phenomena we might be seeing it continues to be unexplained and might, in fact, be some type of phenomenon that is the result of something that we don't yet understand and that could involve some type of activity that some might say constitutes a different form of life.
Some type of activity that some might say constitutes a different form of life. And that to me was like a really, really weird comment to hear someone like John Brennan give. In 2020, he had just wrapped up the better part of a decade as the White House Homeland Security Advisor and CIA Director. He was a career CIA officer. He was a serious guy. And for him to say at the end of that career, basically, yeah, these UFO things are really weird. We don't know what they are, and it puzzles me. If you're in a role like White House Homeland Security Advisor or a role like CIA Director, there can't be that many things that puzzle you. If you wake up in the morning with a random question, you know, tell me what Peter Bergen had for breakfast last Tuesday. There's a $60 billion a year intelligence apparatus that will go out and answer that question. You know, satellites and signals intelligence intercept networks and covert spies and analysts hoovering up open source intelligence. And so for John Brennan to sort of walk out of that job and still say, man, this UFO stuff is real weird, like struck me as worthy of deeper study.
Yeah. He is not a, I'm trying to describe him. He's a very careful, judicious person. This was a very careful and judicious response. However, it suggests strongly that this very careful, judicious person thinks there's something here that is,
yeah,
that is inexplicable.
Yes. And what I tried to do with this book, so the book really goes back across 80 years to trace the U.S. government's involvement and interest in UFOs. And weave together both the military's hunt for UFOs here, as well as the work that scientists, astronomers are doing to study the possibility of life elsewhere in the universe. Traditionally, these are subjects that I think journalists and historians treat entirely separately and unrelated. You know, you've got the wacky tinfoil hat UFO people here, and then you've got the serious scientists doing serious science work out across the rest of the universe. And to me, they are, of course, very intricately related stories, because not for nothing, the question of whether aliens are visiting Earth very much rises and falls on the question of whether aliens exist at all.
It's not clear that the U.S. government agrees with Graf that its interest in UFOs is related at all to the search for life in the cosmos. That question about whether aliens exist is not one that the Pentagon seems particularly anxious to answer. I recently interviewed the outgoing head of the Pentagon's UFO office, Sean Kirkpatrick, and he said his team wasn't in the business of hunting for aliens.
That's right. The office's mission is not to prove the existence of extraterrestrials. The office's mission is to minimize technical and intelligence surprise. That is the primary mission.
This need to avoid technical and intelligence surprise is a major focus of Graf's book, And Graf would agree that tracking UFOs should be a matter of national security. Rival nations could be spying on the US with high-tech aircraft or advanced drones, and the Pentagon should be keeping its eyes out for that. And maybe the most public example of a spying UFO actually turned out to be somewhat low-tech. Remember all those headlines about that Chinese spy balloon last year?
It is day two of Balloon Watch.
China is calling it a civilian airship. The U.S. calls it a spy balloon, whatever you call it.
That Chinese spy balloon traveling across the country.
China says that contraption over the United States is just researching weather. Yeah, okay, sure.
It's worth pointing out that America's air defenses spotted that balloon in the first place because of this new push from the Pentagon to get U.S. military personnel to report weird sightings they observe. The hope seems to be that the reporting and investigation of those sightings becomes a boring, routine part of monitoring U.S. airspace.
I think that that's exactly the right approach, by the way. The way that you get a better understanding about the reality of the mystery of UFOs is by collecting better information and data. One of the challenges is we don't actually still have a particularly good understanding of what is not anomalous in the sky, meteorologically, atmospherically, or astronomically. This is just a really big data collection challenge that at the end of the day probably will be pretty boring.
Well, it seems, Garrett, that the government is in a phase of taking this all a lot more seriously in the sense that they set up this office at the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
They've really destigmatized the flyer who comes back to the aircraft carrier and says, I saw something weird. They're really encouraging people to come forward now in a way that wasn't true in the past.
Yes. And this is actually a big part of why the government has rebranded this as UAPs, which, you know, ironically, the way that people started talking about this in the 1940s was flying saucers. That was what they called it originally. And the government realized that there was a big giggle factor in talking about flying saucers. And so the government rebranded this as unidentified anomalous phenomenon, which is a redefinition meant to encapsulate two major shifts in the thinking from UFOs, one that not all of these things are going to be objects, that some chunk of them are going to be phenomena, you know, astronomical, meteorological, atmospheric phenomena that we do not yet understand. And not all of these things are flying, and that actually one of the few things that we know that the government has discovered in the last couple of years of studying this subject is a trans-medium Chinese drone, which is to say a Chinese drone that comes out of the water and transitions to flight, which is a technology that the U.S. did not understand that China possessed until it began to dive into these latest questions around UFOs and UAPs.
That's fascinating. And so that's exactly how the system should work, that people should report. And presumably, the Chinese balloon story that got a lot of attention about a year ago came out of this effort at the Pentagon to say, you should be reporting things that seem anomalous. There isn't a stigma to do this anymore.
Yeah. And the Chinese spy balloon incident, to me, is reflective of another chunk of what the reality of UFOs and UAPs is going to turn out to be, which is there's just a bunch of weird stuff floating around up there that we don't pay attention to on a daily basis. What we learned with that Chinese spy balloon scare a year ago is if you set the NORAD radars slightly differently, you start picking up a bunch of stuff that we weren't looking for originally. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, wait, what is that thing?
The long-awaited Pentagon UFO report came out in March. And I thought it was a pretty devastating deconstruction of so much of the UFO history. And so my takeaway from the report, there are a few takeaways, but a big one is the extent to which this was a pretty elaborate game of telephone where a bunch of people who were not skeptical about UFOs were in positions to get the government to look into it. And then lots of people started hearing about the sort of top secret investigation of UFOs. and began to use that as proof that there was UFOs out there because there were these secret programs that were looking into it.
I think it's actually even more complicated than that. This effort by a new Pentagon office called Arrow that was set up and tasked with, in recent years, basically getting to the bottom of the UFO mystery, came out and said, you know, we talked to all those witnesses, we tracked down all of the programs that they hinted at, and all of the programs exist and are appropriately budgeted and notified to Pentagon leadership and Capitol Hill, but none of them work on UFOs. And to me, it actually raises a much more interesting set of questions, which is, okay, if those programs exist, but they're not UFO related, what is the government working on in the depths of the black budget in the Pentagon, in defense contractors, in the intelligence community, that people elsewhere in the shadowy world of defense contracting think from the outside look like UFO programs?
A big complicating aspect of the UFO issue from Graf's perspective is that the US government has definitely been hiding stuff from the public. It has to. American national security depends on the government concealing its own top secret technology. At the same time, it also has to conceal what it knows about the top secret technology of rival nations. And a lot of that technology, to an untrained observer, can look pretty UFO-ish, or as Graf might say, UFO-adjacent.
The government gets really squirrely talking about two UFO-related and adjacent subjects. A big part of this history is confusion around things like the U-2 spy plane, the SR-71, the F-117 stealth bomber, the B-2 bomber, things like that. And that, in fact, a lot of what the public thinks are UFOs, the government knows exactly what it is. There's also a category of UFO sightings that are advanced adversary technology being tested against us. This is Chinese drones, Russian drones, Iranian drones, spacecraft, spycraft, etc. And the government is really squirrely talking about what its sensors pick up and what it doesn't pick up. You know, it doesn't want to say, yes, we detected this Chinese craft at this precise latitude, at this precise speed, and that's not a UFO. We know what it is. So the government very routinely covers up what it actually does know about some public UFO sightings. But part of what this report got into that I thought was so interesting is, as you said, there has been this sort of weird game of telephone inside the government, really dating back to the 1980s, where you see decade after decade whistleblowers and witnesses come forward to say, you know, I believe the government is hiding alien spacecraft or alien bodies. I talked to a guy who works on a program that works on UFOs. I talked to someone who touched a UFO, things like that.
And Graf thinks a lot of the public discussion of this latest UFO report has focused on the Pentagon's insistence it's not hiding evidence of aliens. But Graf thinks lots of observers have missed a pretty cool piece of news. And that's the news that the Pentagon has all but admitted that it's hiding something else. New technology so amazing that talking about it further would harm national security.
What I think people missed was the Pentagon report basically says, we checked into what we are hiding, and we are not hiding UFOs, but we're not going to tell you what the thing is that we actually are hiding.
The report says, essentially, that the people who are talking about UFOs and the people they interviewed have, quote, mistakenly associated authentic sensitive national security programs and had incomplete or unauthorized access to these programs, and adds discussion of these programs outside of secure facilities presents a high risk of exposing national security information. So I take from that in plain English, yeah, there are some secret programs. Some people heard about them. In fact, it's a security risk that they're even talking about them publicly, but we're not going to tell you what they are because they're nothing to do with UFOs.
Exactly. But you can imagine that they are UFO adjacent. And what I mean by that is you can sort of imagine those types of programs that from the outside would look like a UFO-related flying saucer program. And these could do with reverse engineering adversary technology that we have recovered but have not yet solved ourselves. One question I have coming out of this report is, what have our adversaries figured out that we haven't? What types of spacecraft, spycraft, aircraft, unmanned platforms have we created that the public doesn't know about? A third category could be, for instance, breakthroughs in propulsion systems or material sciences that the public is unaware of yet.
So, Garrett Graff and I mostly agree about the biggest takeaways from the Pentagon's long-awaited investigation into UFO sightings. First and foremost, the Pentagon's UFO office are saying, we've got really high security clearances. We looked at all the secret UFO files we could get our hands on, all the way back to the 1940s, and we found zero evidence of aliens. Second, the investigators are saying, you know all those stories you've heard over the years about the Pentagon hiding what it knows about aliens? Well, those stories are coming from humans, who've got very human reasons for telling them. And there's a thing we've talked about already. Civilians and people in the Pentagon or the military occasionally hearing rumors about or catching glimpses of highly secret U.S. aircraft or U.S. programs that seem kind of otherworldly. People want answers about this stuff, and when the government doesn't provide them, Graff's work shows us that the imagination tends to take over. And then there's another wrinkle. These days, something like 40% of Americans believe that aliens are visiting the Earth. And some of those believers work for the U.S. government or have close ties to it. And the Pentagon UFO office says that some of these believers work to set up programs inside the Pentagon to investigate the aliens they believed might exist. And these efforts, and the paperwork associated with these efforts, ended up being wrongly trotted out as proof of the U.S. government thinking that aliens really are visiting Earth.
Now to some close encounters on Capitol Hill, where there was an extraordinary hearing today about UFOs.
Former Air Force Intelligence Officer David Grush appearing before House lawmakers, testifying about what he claims is a decades-old government program to recover and re-engineer crashed alien spacecraft, claiming that the U.S.
In many ways, this new Aero report from the Pentagon in mid-March is the answer to the testimony last summer by David Grush.
Mr. Chairman, ranking members and congressmen, thank you.
This
I'm happy to
so-called
be here.
UFO whistleblower.
I was informed of a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program.
By the way, where were you? Were you watching it live?
Yes, I watched the hearings live last summer.
If you believe we have crashed craft, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
Biologics came with some of these recoveries, yeah.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to.
And what was your reaction as you heard all that?
I was pretty doubtful about his claims, in part because one of the things that he had said in media interviews was that there were 5,000 people working on this program inside the government. And, I mean, you laugh.
You know, the way to keep a secret in Washington is you don't tell anyone.
Right.
Right? 5,000 people. I mean, they're going to tell somebody.
So I'm actually just finishing up a book on D-Day that will come out in June, the 80th anniversary of D-Day. For 6 months, the biggest secret in the Allied war machine was the date and target of D-Day. It was kept as small a circle as possible, And in those 6 months, there were a half dozen totally inadvertent security compromises. Literally, one guy accidentally mailed a set of invasion plans home to his mom in Chicago. There was a guy who left a set of invasion plans on a bus. There was a full general who got drunk at a party and started talking to other people at the party about the invasion plans. Those are the totally inadvertent examples that we still see transpire when the government is trying to keep a secret. So to me, the idea that like there are 5,000 people in the United States government working right now who know this biggest secret of all just seemed unbelievable. Even before you get to the second layer of David Grush's claim, which is that this conspiracy has been ongoing for 90 years. You know, Peter, the CIA torture program. In the wake of 9/11, that was arguably the biggest secret that the U.S. government was keeping. In round numbers, how many people knew about that? Maybe 500? It was a secret that kept for only 3 years and generated 2.2 million pages of documents that took the U.S. Senate a decade to wade through. So, do you have any idea how much paperwork just 5,000 people in government would generate working on a UFO program, just even before you get into personnel records and budget briefings and PowerPoints? And, no one has inadvertently left one of those documents or emailed them to their roommate by accident?
Graf makes it clear he thinks the U.S. government sometimes really is hiding information that it knows about UFO sightings, because a lot of those sightings are actually people glimpsing top-secret U.S. technology. And Graf is quick to debunk those more feverish conspiracy theories about the government covering up contact with aliens, because, first of all, he says, those conspiracy theories can't weather the factual scrutiny of a serious historian. But Graf also pushes back on the most fantastical of the UFO alien conspiracy theories for a more important reason. He thinks those conspiracy theories have helped lead people into believing other conspiracy theories that are causing real harm today.
You see in the 1970s and 1980s the rise of UFO conspiracies, this idea that the government is hiding the truth about aliens. The sort of most fantastical versions of this are not just that we have recovered crashed alien spacecraft or alien bodies, but that, the U.S. government has entered into peace treaties with alien races. What we can now recognize is that it is in these UFO conspiracies in the 1970s and 1980s where you have the first arrival and creation, really, of what we would now recognize as the idea of the deep state, the idea that there is this secret government cabal of military and intelligence leaders working at cross purposes with and lying to the nation's elected leadership and citizens. And the people who are that sort of first generation of UFO conspiracists in the 1980s actually become some of the founding voices of the far right extreme talk radio movement of the 1990s. Most notably, there's this radio host named Bill Cooper who sort of first surfaces in the 1980s by claiming to be a former naval intelligence officer who saw while on duty the memos about the government's contact with alien species.
All of this stuff about UFOs and extraterrestrials is interesting. Contrary to the belief of the vast army of sheeple out there, it does mean something.
And then becomes one of the most popular.
I'm your host, William Cooper, and you're listening to The Hour of the Time.
National far-right talk radio hosts of the 1990s.
Democracy is a code word for socialism, and that's why our forefathers established a republic.
And has two very notable and historically important superfans. The first of them is Timothy McVeigh. He and his buddy Terry Nichols actually drive out to Bill Cooper's compound in Arizona. And as they are leaving Bill Cooper's driveway, Tim McVeigh says to Bill Cooper, "Watch Oklahoma City." And of course, a couple of months later, you know, you have the bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building. And then Bill Cooper inspires a second really important person, a young Austin, Texas public access talk show host named Alex Jones.
That's a military dictatorship.
And becomes really sort of the mentor and inspiration in the 1990s for the rise of Alex Jones and his talk radio show.
I'm saying recognize we are under martial law now of the UN and the medical tyranny and Bill Gates. Face that!
Bill Cooper launched the modern era of government conspiracies with Alex Jones and passed the torch to a new generation.
The calm before the storm. Washington, D.C. braces for more than 3 million people. January 6, 1 p.m., Capitol Building, northeast side. I'll be leading that march.
I don't think you get January 6th in America without the intellectual foundation laid by the UFO conspiracists of the 1980s.
I think the idea here is not that the enraged rioters burst into the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021 because they thought there might be a crashed flying saucer hidden in the basement. It's more like alien UFO conspiracies are like a gateway drug to worse conspiracy theories for a certain kind of radio host or listener. Because if you can become convinced there's a deep state cabal lying to you about something as fundamental as, are we alone in the universe? Who's to say what else they're lying to you about?
Before the 1970s, there was not this idea of the existence of a deep state. The idea that you would have a professional cabal of secret keepers who lie to the president and lie to Congress. And now, of course, that becomes a very regular part of both pop culture and, of course, our actual modern politics.
I said earlier that Garrett Graff and I mostly agree about the biggest takeaways from the Pentagon's latest UFO investigations. But there is one area where I think we see things a little differently. That area is a mystery that's probably the hardest one to solve. No matter how closely the Pentagon's UFO office studies this subject, there'll always be a small percentage of UFO sightings that won't ever be explained. Those US Navy pilot incidents from the early 2000s are a great example. These are the ones that left former CIA Director John Brennan basically at a loss for words.
Well, I've seen some of those videos from Navy pilots, and I must tell you that they are quite eyebrow-raising.
Even though there's some video for some of these US Navy pilot sightings, there's little chance that much in the way of other useful data will come to light years from now. So we're mostly left relying heavily on eyewitness testimony to determine the truth behind these claims. In my experience, the truth can be, sometimes, incredibly hard to find out. But once you do find it out, situations that seem superhuman often turned out to be all too human. When the hunt for Osama bin Laden finally ended, for example, they didn't find him inside some kind of high-tech Bond villain lair, monitoring operations on a wall of screens. They found him instead in a ramshackle compound in Pakistan, with no phone line but lots of chickens, where the aging mastermind of 9/11 was using Just for Men hair dye to keep from going gray. But when Garrett Graff chases after an elusive truth, I get the sense he likes to savor the mystery a little more and leave some room for wonder. So let's give him the last word about those unexplained UFOs.
There are only a handful of answers to what this could be all of which would be important for us to understand. One is the government is working on some pretty fantastical secret stuff that we don't know about yet, and that's pretty exciting. The second is there are also really mind-blowing answers to what it could be, and the answers are probably far weirder and stranger than we can possibly imagine. You don't have to believe that UFOs equal aliens. All you have to believe is that there's exactly what John Brennan said. There's stuff out there that we don't know what it is, and we should be interested in solving that puzzle. And I want our $60 billion a year intelligence apparatus to be unsatisfied with the answer, I don't know. And as a taxpayer and as a citizen, like, I want our government to try to solve this mystery in a very open-minded way.
If you're interested in learning more about some of the stories and issues we talked about in this episode, I strongly recommend Garrett Graff's Watergate: A New History, and of course, his latest, UFO, the inside story of the U.S. government's search for alien life here and out there. Both are available on Audible. In the Room with Peter Bergen is an Audible original, produced by Audible Studios and Fresh Produce Media. This episode was produced by Eric German, with help from Holly DeMuth. Our executive producer is Allison Craiglow. Katie McMurrin is our technical director. And our staff also includes Alexandra Salomon, Laura Tillman, Luke Cregan, Nathan Ray, Sandy Malera, and J.P. Swenson. Our theme music is by Joel Picard. Our executive producers for Fresh Produce Media are Colin Moore and Jason Ross. Our head of development is Julian Ambler. Our head of production is Eleanor Bavietz. Maureen Trainer is our head of operations. Our production manager is Herminio Ochoa. Our production coordinator is Henry Koch. And our delivery coordinator is Anna Paula Martinez. Audible's chief content officer is Rachel Giazza. Head of content acquisition and development and partnerships, Pat Shah. Audible executive producer, Lara Regan Kleinschmidt. Special thanks to Marlon Calbi, Allison Weber, and Vanessa Harris. Copyright 2024 by Audible Originals, LLC. Sound recording copyright 2024 by Audible Originals, LLC.